तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। See the beginning of spring, Uttarayana Punya Kala means everything fresh, everything a new phase of life, a new things beginning, everything new begins. That's why at least let us, I thought before, even though we are going to have small break again because of the things, other let me have some satsang today at least. One thing in Bhagavad Gita or Upanishads or any analysis of mantras in Brahma Sutra, the whole study is ultimately aiming at only one thing. That helping us discover our own real nature is the Upanishad, the aim of the Upanishads, aim of the study. How many ever scriptures are there? Ultimately, the thing is, we need not search anything anywhere. We need not do anything. Do anything, search anywhere. We need not search anywhere means the search must be in terms of self-analysis, self-inquiry. So even though we say, oh, it is the truth of the universe, so what? However big the universe is, however vast the universe is, the problem is not centered on the part of an object. The fundamental problem for which we search, we seek the solution, is not centered on the part of an object. It's not part on the part of an action or the result of action, or not experience of the result, not even the part of other people or behavior or the world at all. The core problem, the fundamental problem is centered on I. Therefore, this problem centered on I has to be resolved, sorted out. And that problem, so we need, Shastram tells us which causes this problem. Why there is fundamental problem centered on I? Why this sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy, sense of limitation centered on I? This problem is not our creation. This fundamental problem centered on I is not our creation. It is not our, it's not our, really speaking, we are not responsible for that problem. Even the problem has to be understood objectively. Why this is a problem? It is not just one person. It's not that some people. It's not just a group of people. It's not in one country. It is a common human universal problem. And this is very natural one. It is not caused by anybody. So Shastram only helps us understand the situation, problem objectively, that which we cannot crush our intellect and arrive at this problem. So Shastram helps us that this is what actually the problem is. It is not the world. It is not external, the situations. It is not the experiences. It is not the objects. It is not actions. It is not the results of actions. It is not even the experience that is possible, experiences which we have. Then what is the problem? The problem is fundamental, which is centered on I. And there is a problem. Shastra only says there is this problem. It doesn't say blame us or you are responsible for this problem. No, it completely, the whole situation is objectively analyzed, presented. There is such a problem called fundamental problem. It's a common human problem. It's a universal problem. And this is centered on I. And what is that which causes this problem? Again, there's something called ignorance. No, there is error. Ajnanam Adhyasa. These two are important words. The whole Brahma Sutra begins this teaching like this, Adhyasa. There is error. The fundamental problem is caused by error in perception, especially as perception of the self. Again, who is responsible for the error in perception of the self? You or other person? Who? Are we responsible? No. There is error. Again, I only want you to understand how the problem is objectively analyzed. Who is responsible for this fundamental, the problem and the error which causes the problem? So error in perception of the self, which results in this fundamental problem of sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy, sense of insecurity, very important. Sense of insecurity centered on I. And which results in, finally, rebirth, samsara, bondage and samsara. So there's a paramparaya, means what? There's a sequentially we have how one result results in the other. It ends in what? Samsara. So samsara is a continuous thing. So what is that which causes even the error? So error is possible. Again, beautifully analyzed. In total ignorance, error is not possible at all. In total ignorance, error is not possible. Therefore, ignorance also is not the problem. Poor ignorance is, that's all. If total ignorance also is not the problem, and this ignorance causes this error, means error is due to the ignorance, means that ignorance is what? Definitely partial. And initially we understand ignorance is, and who created the ignorance? Again, are we responsible? No. Ignorance is not, being ignorant is not a crime, is not a papam, it's not a problem. Again, we are helped to see, understand the situation objectively. There is something called ignorance which is natural. And this ignorance is there in everything, on the part of everything. There's nothing which is devoid of ignorance. So only when we study, and when we study a lot, initially we mistake this, so ignorance is something very bad and wrong. No. Ignorance is a natural phenomenon, very natural phenomenon. Only thing is, when you study other scripture, Upanishads and all, then we understand there's no such a thing called ignorance at all, really speaking. Ignorance also is as though, because, why do you say it's as though? Because it does not have independent existence of its own. Ignorance is a inexplicable phenomenon which does not have independent existence of its own and which is there naturally as though. And if you really analyze what is ignorance is, if you want to know what ignorance is, what is this ignorance? Where does this ignorance exist? Where is it located? If you really analyze ignorance, ignorance will disappear. You will say there's no ignorance. That is why ignorance, which on analysis will be not there, is called Maya. Vaya ma sa Maya. Why ignorance is known as Maya? Because that which is not really, that which is as though, that's why it's called Maya. Because it is as though it is called Maya, it is Mithya. Mithya means it is as though. Ignorance is Mithya, it is not Satyam. Then what is this? How can this Mithya ignorance cause such a problem? it doesn't cause problem. Mithya ignorance results in mithya error. Mithya error results in mithya erroneous self-perception, which results in fundamental problem, and which results in sequentially samsara ultimately. Therefore, Shastram says is ignorance, otherwise called avidya, maya, pradhanam, prakritihi. This ignorance is only unmanifest power. The power of reality, unmanifest alone, is known as ignorance. Because darkness, in ignorance, when ignorance is when there is ignorance, ignorance means what? When the power of knowledge is unmanifest, there's only darkness, there's no light. Nothing is seen, nothing is experienced, So ignorance is darkness, because in the presence of ignorance, nothing shines. Everything remains covered in darkness of ignorance. Where is it now? Is there a phenomenon called ignorance which exists independently? No. Ignorance is just the name attributed to the power of reality unmanifest. Brahmanaha avyakta shaktireva ajnanam. Atmanaha brahmanaha avyakta shaktihi. Avyakta shaktireva ajnanam. The power of knowledge unmanifest is ignorance. The power of knowledge manifest is knowledge. But how much is the knowledge, power of reality manifest? Power of knowledge, how much is manifest? It is manifest at different levels, in different beings. And wherever the power of knowledge is manifest, and we can see for the power of knowledge to be manifest, there must be manifesting medium in terms of subtle, sukshma shariram. So in keeping with the condition of the manifesting medium sukshma, the level of manifestation also is there. And wherever there's manifestation, there are functions and there is life. Then we call those beings endowed with the functions and manifestation, we call them living beings. Right from amoeba and any plant, immobile, wherever we see the all, there is reality, power of reality is manifest. That is why jnanam, vyakta jnanam, brahmanaha shaktihi vyakta jnanam. Vyakta shaktireva jnanam, avyakta shaktireva ajnanam. There is no knowledge, there is no ignorance other than Brahma, which is pure knowledge. There is no knowledge or ignorance other than Brahma, which is source of knowledge, pure knowledge, which is pure consciousness, pure awareness. And of course, these words are used, these words imply the reality, because this reality being abstract, Shastram uses all the terms to bring this reality to light only in terms of its nature. You know, implying reality in terms of its nature. Any word, not in one word which can directly indicate reality. All the words used in Shastram reveal reality by implying reality in terms of its nature only. Therefore, this reality alone is satyam. This implied by the term Brahman is satyam, Atma is satyam, that alone is real, means that alone is always there independently. That alone is always there independently, without beginning, without end, without change. It's always there. And it is neither an object nor a subject. This reality is not a subject, not an object. But the subject is reality, object is reality. And if jnanam is reality, ajnanam is reality, what is ajnanam? Avyakta shaktihi ajnanam. What is jnanam? Vyakta shaktihi jnanam. Manifest power is knowledge, unmanifest power is ignorance. Therefore, reality is neither jnanam nor ajnanam. But jnanam is also ajnanam. Jnanam also is Brahma. Reality, Brahma. Ajnanam also is Brahma. Because jnanam and ajnanam do not have independent existence outside of Brahma. They both are inseparable, intrinsic power of Brahma. Either power remains resolved in Brahma, unmanifest, or it is manifest. So manifest, as I said, wherever manifestation there is life and living creatures, and where there is no appropriate sukshma to manifest, there Brahman is there only in the form of Sat. The chit is in the form of Sat, because it means there is no manifestation. Knowledge is, but not manifest. For us, manifest means what? Being available for recognition is being manifest. In non-living things, reality is there, chit is there, awareness is there, consciousness is there, knowledge is, reality is. But it is not recognizable. Why? It is not manifest. And how do we recognize knowledge is in living beings? Because it is manifest. It's available for recognition in the form of functions, in the form of life. Because in the form of the knowledge, manifest knowledge backing the order, reality is available for recognition. So reality, because the manifestation of knowledge is recognizable in living beings, we understand the source of knowledge is reality. So manifest knowledge alone is recognizable. Pure knowledge is never recognizable. Never recognizable. Pure knowledge is never knowable. So manifestation of knowledge becomes instrumental in help in recognize the source of knowledge being the reality. And the levels differ. And we is like any how knowledge is the power of reality in terms of knowledge is manifest in all the living beings. So also it is manifest in a human being. But the human mind is a separate thing where the manifestation is very different. The highest form in the form of a vritti jnanam. Now, the power of reality is manifest in the form of a thought called vritti jnanam. And that vritti jnanam again is how? In the form of the vritti jnanam in terms of very I. Because of which self-consciousness, self-awareness, self-identity is possible. So I am. I am, which is the highest form of manifestation of reality, the power of reality, which is vritti jnanam, and because of which, again, any amount of knowledge of the world is possible. It is the self-identity, self-awareness, self-consciousness, which makes the knowledge of the world possible. Any amount of, you know, discovery, inventions, all this is possible because of this one amazing manifestation of the knowledge of the existence of the self in terms of I am. about this also we say what, see, this is the highest form of manifestation of knowledge. He said to be partial, the power of reality partially manifest alone is the knowledge of the existence of the self in terms of I am. So the power of reality has to become totally manifest. And it is this, we understand how this power of reality in terms of knowledge is manifest. There's a capacity to know on the part of any living creature, on the part of any being, on the part of mind, the capacity to know is also manifestation of power of reality. The capacity to desire is also manifestation of power of reality. The capacity to do, to fulfill the desire also is manifestation of power of reality. One and the only power manifest alone, jnana shakti, iccha shakti, kriya shakti. So once the knowledge of the existence of the self in terms of I am is there, it is possible for us to appreciate how the power of reality is manifest. We do understand, we do see there is power of knowing, the capacity to know, the capacity to desire, capacity to do, to fulfill the desire. This jnana shakti, iccha shakti, kriya shakti, are there three powers? No. These threefold powers are actually manifestations of the one and the only power of reality. These powers manifest alone are given three names as sattva gunaha, tamo gunaha, rajo gunaha. Three gunas are three names attributed to the manifest powers of reality. Therefore, the whole jagat is shakti. Reality, power of reality manifest is the whole jagat. And the whole jagat is three gunas. The whole jagat is three powers. And whatever you see in Brahmanda, you see in Pindanda and individual also, the part of every individual. Limited measure. And this shakti, the individual capacity or the total capacity, individual power or the total power, the power is one inseparable power. The one, the only power which seems to be divided doesn't exist outside of the reality at all. That power alone is ajnanam. When it's unmanifest, is ajnanam. The partially manifest is this whole jagat. What which enjoys existence now is actually because of this partial manifestation. You know? And the bondage, samsara also is what now we say. This partial manifestation alone, this knowledge is fine, beautiful, but the partial ignorance is also there. That ignorance, partial ignorance, you know, the unmanifest power of reality, partially unmanifest, with reference to an individual, where there's a partial manifestation, is given the name avidya. The total unmanifest power is maya. Ignorance. And this ignorance also has to be resolved, for which initiation is required. For the partial manifestation, we don't need to work hard for knowledge of existence of I to be there. No effort is required to know that you are. No effort is required to know you are. Already it is naturally there. So as a human being with all the unique instrument called Antakarana, amazing instrument, so you can just probe and then within span of life ordained, we can discover and enjoy and experience, everything is possible. But still, there's something called the bondage is there, and then sukha dukkham anubhava is also inevitable. That is where the human mind becomes tired of everything. That's the time you must feel bored with things and tired of things. Excitement, when you start life, very exciting. And excitement, enjoyment, experiences one day must help you grow. And I'd be tired of everything. You know, tired of everything. Then you will say, ask, okay, why? What is this? As a thinker, the Shastram says, you don't need not do anything. It's a partial knowledge which is naturally there. It's a partial ignorance, avidya. That's what? Not knowing what I is. What is this I, which is manifestation of knowledge? Where does it come from? Where is it exist? And discover it. You discovered the source of knowledge. Discovering what I am is discovering the source of knowledge, because I am is knowledge. Manifest knowledge. Manifestation comes and goes. Vrittis rise, there's manifestation. Vrittis resolve, manifestation goes. We can't analyze too much there. 100% we can understand there's a source of knowledge, which is always there knowing. The vrittis being there, vrittis being not there. So the self-enquiry, self-analysis helps us resolve this partial ignorance called avidya. How, when you discover what I is, the ignorance of what I am resolves. Then you discover I am consciousness, which is the source of, I am the reality, the source of all that you arrive at in terms of its nature of knowing. We do stumble upon the reality, abstract reality, in terms of its nature of knowing, in terms of consciousness. And then you understand how this consciousness reality is limitless, how it is Brahma, how it is timeless, how it is spatial limitless, how it is objectless limitless, how it is unmoving, how it is birth changeless. It is this reality, Brahma or Atma. Therefore, this I actually is Brahma. Aham Brahma asti, aham Brahma eva, aham Brahma eva aham asmi. And then you also see there is no second reality other than this Brahma, consciousness. First, understanding aham Brahma, I am consciousness is fine. Like wave is water, I am consciousness, I am Brahma. Then there is no second reality other than this consciousness. And the consciousness is in the form of existence of everything here. Therefore, it is only reality of the whole Jagat also is this Brahma. So from the standpoint of this absolute reality implied by Brahma, obtaining him a pure knowledge, pure consciousness, is the existence. In fact, existence means which is one indivisible, partless whole, which is neither subject nor object, in which there is knower, in which there is a known. The knower and known are relative divisions. The duality, which is relative, which is not non-existent, which is not tucham, which is not asat, which is mithya. Mithya, knower, known, jnatru, jnana, jnaya, bheda is mithya, because the source of jnatru, there's no knower, there's no jnanam, there's no jnayam other than this Brahma. The standpoint of the reality with the source of knowledge, the source of existence of everything, which alone is satyam, there is no knower, known knowledge. Triputi bheda is not there. There is no duality. So Advaitam is the, why it is non-dual, being non-dual, not being the two, being one is the very nature of reality. Advaitam is not two. It is source of the knower, the source of the known, the source of the knowledge, which is pure knowledge, pure consciousness, Brahma. And that Brahman is always Advaitam, non-dual, indivisible, partless whole. And it is secondless. There is no second thing other than this reality also. And how can you talk about Mitmaya for Shakti? Hey, Shakti is not separable. Shakti is not countable as a parallel reality, because Shakti does not exist independently outside of this reality. Shakti is nothing but knowledge. The power is nothing but knowing is the power. The Swarupam is the power. There is no power other than the power of knowing, which alone later on seen as different other powers. Therefore, you resolve the power of reality implied by the term Maya, meant by the word Maya, is also Mithya, because there's no independent existence. It is not countable. Therefore, what is only Brahma's non-dual reality, Brahma, which is not only non-dual, it is secondless. Advaitam Brahma, Advayam, Advitiyam Brahma. Advaitam, Advitiyam Brahma, Satyam, Advayam, Advitiyam, Advaitam, Advitiyam, Ekam, Brahma, Satyam. If at all you say anything else is there in that, in whatever is there, everything exists in that Brahma, in knowledge alone. There's no existence outside of knowledge. Without the knowledge, therefore everything else is Mithya. And you can say, if you really see the Mithya can be just resolved in Brahma, you can just say, all that is, there's only Brahma. And when you, in seeing this fact, you have taken your essence, already resolved it in Brahma, and you resolve your body, mind, sense complex, everything, including the, along with the Jagat, is cognitive resolved as Mithya. You see, everything is only in Brahma. This is a fact we understand, but we need to dwell upon it again and again and again and again for it to be assimilated. Thereby, even in our day-to-day transactions, you prudently, objectively, when you transact also, without losing sight of this vision, your transactions can be possible, can happen objectively, transactions are possible, which is Jivan Muktihi. And this is what the ultimately we vision we have to have by repeatedly going through every verse after verse after verse. But Bhagavad Gita, this, what is special about Bhagavad Gita is, Upanishads talk about nature of reality. Upanishads talk about what is Atma, what is Brahma, what is Swarupam of, what is Tatastha Lakshanam, what is Swarupa Lakshanam, how reality is, and how knowledge is the means of moksha. Everything the Shastras talk about. And to have this jnanam, to study, for Shravanam to be effective, for Mananam to be effective. See, Shravanam, Mananam will be, Shravanam will be very easy. You can understand easily. Listen and understand. If you're very focused, you can understand. Then the assimilation, what I'm saying, for you to remain steadfast in the vision of that fact and truth, for Nidhyasanam. Nidhyasanam is difficult because of the nature of the mind. Because mind cannot be steady. It will be going all over. See, people have the problem because they don't understand the teaching. Another problem, because they're exposed to the teaching sometimes. But being exposed to the teaching, understanding the teaching also, still you don't enjoy the benefit of the teaching because you're not able to remain steadfast in the vision of the fact, because the mind is not steady enough to dwell upon it repeatedly to make it firm. That is why the two reasons, these mental impurities naturally rise in problem, and also the Patibandhas will be there, part of the Patibandhas. So, which means, we have to become, that's why Shastram talks about the preparation, the qualification for this knowledge. Now, those qualifications, the main, one of the qualifications is what? Of course, Mokshatvam we all have, we can have. And then Viveka also comes when you are exposed to Shastra study, Nitya Nitya Vastu Viveka also comes. Then, certain degree of Vairagyam also you can pick up because of the Viveka. Viveka is not the Vairagyam, is not possible. So Viveka comes because of exposure to the teaching. Vairagyam also, to a certain degree of Vairagyam, comes because of the Viveka. Now Mokshatvam is there, but what is difficulty is, the mental disposition. Especially there's no Shanti. There's no Danti. Of course, Uparatihi, you can try to be dutiful. Shraddha, you have Shayan Shastram. And you want to be focused also. Samadhanam also is possible. The problem is Santi, Danti, Shamaha, Dhammaha. The most difficult problem we have is Shamaha, Dhammaha. The mental discipline and sensory discipline. So Shastram says these are all the disciplines one must have as one of the qualifications required for Jnanam, to have contemplative disposition of the mind, to be contemplative, to enjoy, assimilate, and enjoy the benefit of the teaching. The problem here is, it is not mentioned how to have Shamaha, how to be mentally disciplined. And Bhagavad Gita, really, all Acharyas, Adishankara Bhagavatpada, even Ramanujacharya, in Madhvacharya, all the Acharyas have different views, different contentions also. All of them uniformly accept Bhagavad Gita as the prasthanam, one of the three prasthanams. Why? Because in Bhagavad Gita, it is repeatedly mentioned, the Karma Yoga lifestyle is prescribed, to have Shanti and Danti. How to have Shamaha, Dhammaha? It is not taught in Upanishads. Upanishads only tell you must have Shamaha. You must have Dhammaha. The teacher can explain. But how I can have Shamaha? How I can have Dhammaha? How I can have mastery over my sense organs and the ways of thinking my mind? For which deliberately, diligently, strictly, I must follow the way of life enjoined by the Shastra. Otherwise, Shamaha will be impossible. We need strict guidance. Now, I want to live the way I want to live, but I want her Shamaha. You can't order for Shamaha. Isn't it? Pizza, we can place an order. Domino's. They'll come and give you. You're taking a lot of money. We can order. Shanti. Let me order for Shanti. No, so the most difficult thing is having Shamaha and Dhammaha. And which can be gained, those disciplines can be had only by diligently following the way of life enjoined by the Shastram. That is why Shruti is Mata. Because like a spoon feeding. Every day, little and little and little, you have to give the baby, the newborn baby, how carefully is looked after and raised. Made into a beautiful girl. It ages. The same way, Shamadham also can be gained. Just carefully living your life consciously in living a day-to-day life. There's a certain attitude, Ishwar Arpana Buddhi, Ishwar Prasada Buddhi, commitment to Dharma, value of values, and prayer and worship, and in following the Ahimsa. Because if you try to understand ahimsa and try to live that life of non-hurting, you're strictly following values, means, and that is how, and you're very conscious of what you're doing. There's only way, only living a life of values will help us have shamaha in due course of time. That is a specialty of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita teaches us how to have shamaha. Upanishads do not teach how to have dhammaha. That is why it's a practical guide, they say, Bhagavad Gita. Why? Because how I should live my life strictly. And if I'm not able to live, once you know the value of living this life, unless it is very difficult to live such a life, enjoined by the Shastra. Now, following the life, enjoined by the Shastra, is not an easy joke. It involves difficulty. So unless I follow this way of life, I live the way Shastra has said, there's no way of having shamaha. It's far, I'll be far away. And that is why we understand our helplessness and we may use our will because we know the value, because of vairagyam, because of abhyasa, we use our will and try to live the life enjoyed by the Shastram. Our will is used. And we also seek Bhagavan's grace. That is why we pray. We pray to Bhagavan. Again, prayer as a will involved auto-suggestion. And order can never fail because action is, law of action is such, no action can fail. And this will involved auto-suggestion prayer also will be effective because you're every day you're reminding yourself, no, hey Bhagavan, please bless me with knowledge of right and wrong means you are seeking. You're consciously praying means you are telling yourself. You're repeatedly reminding yourself of what you should be doing, what you should not be doing. That gives you the strength. Then that is why prayer and also thankfulness in terms of worship, expressiveness of worship, prayer and worship helps you. Give blesses one with all support, all strength to be able to live the way of life enjoined by the Shastram. And the way of life enjoined by the Shastram, lived alone in due course of time, can bless one with the Shamaha, Dhammaha, without which contemplation is impossible, with assimilation is impossible, without which enjoying the benefit of knowledge in terms of moksha will be impossible. Class is over. This is the satsanga. Satsanga Vishayaha. Gita-dhyayanasya tatparyam kim? That's the question. The answer is the satsanga Vishaya today.